Elon Musk is taking over Twitter to the tune of $44 billion.
In a lot of ways, it's kind of like a Fitbit in your skull with tiny wires.
As you descend the escalator into the Loop station, you see the Teslas waiting to whisk you into a tunnel 43 feet below ground. All right, it's like a subway. But this is more like a highway underground. And because it's Las Vegas, this is also a thrill ride.
One of the things I've found out as the President of the United States, I get to spend a lot of that money. I get to decide where, no, I'm not joking. And we're going to completely, but before, we're going to start the process where every vehicle in the United States military, every vehicle is going to be climate friendly. Every vehicle. We're going to have a, no, I mean it. We're spending billions of dollars to do it. And it's going to matter. You know, it matters. You know, my view of this crisis, as I said, is a genuine opportunity. An opportunity to do things we wanted to do, and only now it becomes so apparent.
By now, we've all heard a lot of talk, a lot of promises. We think it's time to see what it can do. It's time for electric to turn into lightning. An electric truck that can match the ambitions of this nation.
Mr. President!
This quick.
How's it drive?
Look, the future of the auto industry is electric. There's no turning back. Right now, China is leading in this race. Make no bones about it. It's a fact. And they think they're going to win. But I got news for them. They will not win this race. We can't let them. We have to move fast.
Perfect. I'll be there at 11. Is this us?
Absolutely. It can be.
Great. Make it us.
Okay.
Mr. Musk, how are you?
Congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you very much.
Elon, hey. Come on. Those Merlin engines are fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Good idea for an electric jet.
You do.
Yeah.
Then we'll make it work.
After weeks of corporate wrangling, Twitter's board of directors accepting the billionaire's buyout offer in a unanimous vote. Musk, who has been one of Twitter's biggest critics, celebrating with rocket emojis, tweeting in part, "Free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square."
Well, I think it's very important for there to be an inclusive arena for free speech.
That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again. Freeze it.
After drifting downward for the past few weeks, gas prices are once again creeping up to a national average of $4.15 a gallon. High prices and lingering supply constraints pushed GDP down this past quarter by 1.4% after a year and a half of growth.
I'm not concerned about a recession.
More consumers considering purchasing electric vehicles.
Yeah, Americans are shelling out an average of $4.14 to fill up their gas tanks. That is $1.25 higher than just a year ago.
Whoa.
Now our Verify team is looking into claims about fires after several U.S. food processing plants went up in flames in recent months.
Recent fires at food processing plants across the U.S. have several people speculating online if something else is behind them. This tweet notes a, quote, odd coincidence that, quote, 18 U.S. food processing facilities burned down in the last 6 months. The question that we're looking at today, are people setting food processing plants on fire intentionally in order to create a food shortage?
We've seen Tesla for almost 20 years now break new ground and deliver some extraordinary product and build an amazing company. And only this week we've seen Ford start to deliver now the Ford, F-150 Lightning, which I think is truly significant, certainly in America.
Some critics worry how Musk, who's faced his own backlash over controversial and offensive tweets, will handle Twitter's challenges with misinformation and toxic content. The ACLU raising concerns over a powerful central actor having so much control over the boundaries of our political speech online.
Look again.
Around town and around the world and maybe on Twitter. I don't know. Social media is kind of going bananas over here right now.
I guess that's, that's probably true.
Well, a lot of folks, there are some critics out there that would say, why not?
Critics?
You?
What?
Can you? I can't believe this.
None.
Oh my God. Zero. Zero. Oh,
thank goodness. Phew. For a second there, I was worried.
But there have been some folks that have spoken out and said, why didn't you use the money that you purchased Twitter with to do something for charity, philanthropy, more good with that money?
Well, I do a lot of things philanthropically.
Yes.
My companies are intended to do good for the future of humanity, with the Tesla trying to accelerate the advent of sustainable transport and energy. And SpaceX is providing internet to the least served people around the world.
The best space company in the world.
I know.
In the world.
And also what you've done for Ukraine as well during this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're able to help Ukraine with the Starlink terminals and give them connectivity in particularly some of the hardest hit areas. So, aspirationally, I am trying to do good for humanity and the future of civilization.
I mean, I told him not to take on the world and the universe, and he didn't listen.
Clearly not listening to mom.
Listen to his mom.
Well, they were all talking about stagflation. It's not stagflation. Stagflation is a stagnant economy with rising inflation. This is dragflation. The economy goes down and inflation goes up. Or maybe I can't say drag.
This stuff, you can't even predict anything right now. You look at what is happening in Eastern Europe, you look at inflation, you look at gas prices, you look at diesel prices, you look at a food crisis, you look at the supply chain disruption, you look at the debt, you look at the deficits, it goes on and on and on. You look at mortgage rates, you look at GDP shrinking by 1.4%, and markets go up. It's fascinating.
Dragflation.
And we're hearing more about this food crisis, we're hearing more about shortages, and we're hearing more about an economic downturn. Don't take this lightly, ladies and gentlemen. Look, there are people out there that are dismissing this, people out there that just believe if they hope enough, this is going to go away.
Well, brave volunteers are putting their taste buds to the test at the University of Adelaide. Researchers are preparing common insects for consumption, insisting sustainable food sources are the future.
Now, I'm told the roasted mealworm is one of the most palatable for beginners, so bon appetit. A bit like roast chicken.
But the question has arisen. And so I think we have to go deeper. And it's not about the US versus China. It's about what underpins a world order is always the financial system. Mm. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy.
President Biden signed an executive order today directing the federal government to come up with a plan to regulate cryptocurrencies. The move follows what the Biden administration is calling the, quote, explosive growth of digital assets in recent years. Under the order, the government will coordinate efforts with financial regulators to get a better understanding of the risks and benefits of cryptocurrencies. The directive also calls for the exploration and consideration of creating a digital form of the U.S. dollar.
It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
Wake up!
Bill, how confident are you that we as a global community will deal with the next pandemic better?
You know, if we're rational, yes. The next time we'll catch it early and it won't go global like it did this time.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs on the medical front, particularly around the synthetic mRNA. You can basically do anything with synthetic RNA, DNA. It's like a computer program. So, you know, I think with enough, with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. You can basically do anything. You can turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence.
Small thing has happened. Russia has invaded Ukraine, and it feels like we're in a new world. We are going to be seeing higher energy prices, higher food prices for years to come. It seems difficult to see how this resolves itself very quickly. What does that say to you about the economic outlook for the next few years?
Well, it comes on top of the pandemic, where government debt levels were already very, very high, and there were already some supply chain problems. And so it's, you know, likely to accelerate the inflationary problems that rich world economies have, and, you know, force an increase in interest rates that eventually will result in an economic slowdown.
It could be the world's tallest moving statue ever, towering above us and above its predecessors. Monuments and memorials, public art in all its forms, has been around for centuries. Iconic, must-visit tourist attractions, and we, this reporter included, just can't resist snapping selfies.
Public art really allows us to engage with places in a new way. You know, people question, what is this? Why is it here? We discover new areas of our city. We get excited about the places where we live.
It can also bring mega tourist dollars and support the local economy. On this side of the pond, a group of entrepreneurs are trying to fund an ambitious project to do just that. It's part statue, part business, part museum, part foundation, part gathering place, all somehow in one experience.
I mean, it's gigantic, and it's unusual, and it's magnificent, and it uses technology actually to celebrate humanity.
It's a giant, more than 10 stories high, wrapped in an LED skin. It moves its head and its arms too. The designers say it's all about human potential and a greener future.
The world has to change, and the giant wants to be part of this change and inspire people to reach their full potential and help save this planet.
Their goal, put a colossal statue in 21 cities, each one highlighting the giants in their community.
It's going to hook into the communities, and it's going to offer something really positive and also something fun and also something inspiring.
And no need to take a traditional selfie. The giant does it for you. And after the year we've all had, reconnecting locally and globally is exactly what we need.
Right? Wrong.
We have breaking news. More than 100 people injured at a major holy site in Jerusalem. Israeli police clashed with thousands of Palestinians who were gathered at this mosque. And let's take a live look at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, where prayers have just ended. You see some people gathered out there. Mild protests right now. There are reports that protests have begun again. Ariel Reshef, just back from Israel, starts us off. Good morning, Ariel.
Good morning to you, George. All of this is happening after the deadliest spate of violence inside of Israel in several years. 14 killed in 4 separate Palestinian attacks in just 3 weeks. The Israeli Foreign Ministry saying that masked men marched towards the Al-Aqsa compound, carrying Hamas flags, gathering rocks, and then clashes erupted. This morning, clashes and chaos in Jerusalem. More than 100 injured after Israeli security forces entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque after they say Palestinians hurled rocks along the mosque's perimeter. Israeli police firing tear gas and stun grenades, the move seen as a provocation. 60 people inside the mosque arrested. The Israeli police saying 3 officers were wounded from what they call massive stone throwing. All of this happening as both Ramadan and Passover fall on the same weekend. Both holidays expected to bring tens of thousands into Jerusalem's old city. Tensions have been heightened amid a recent wave of violence at the holy site, which is sacred to both Jews and Muslims. Clashes here helped spark an 11-day war with Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip last year. Over the last few weeks, the deadliest spate of violence since 2016. 14 killed, among them Jews, Arab Israelis, and foreign nationals, in 4 separate Palestinian attacks inside the country. And Israeli officials saying this morning they are committed to the religious freedom of peaceful worshipers at Al-Aqsa. Hamas and other Palestinian militant groups have called for resistance for days. A Hamas spokesperson saying this morning that they will protect Al-Aqsa at all costs. Michael.
All right, Ariel. Peaceful would be very nice. Thank you so much.
Shortly after the deadly massacre, Hamas explained their motive and declared the continuing terrorism of the occupation and its crimes, attempts to Judaize Jerusalem and to perform sacrifices in the Al-Aqsa Mosque to build the so-called temple during what they call Passover, against it stands blood and bullets. Through their statements, the article goes on to say, Hamas exposed their greatest fear that Israel will start to build the temple. For thousands of years, Jews have been praying for a return to the land of Israel. Over the last century, we have miraculously been restored to our homeland from the 4 corners of the earth, but are still awaiting the proper time to build the temple. Judaism is incomplete without the temple. Hamas is terrified that after close to 75 years of statehood, Israel will begin turning its attention to the place where God chose to establish his name.
Stephen Strange.
The Illuminati will see you now.
So, okay, so to make this church, we have to do, we have to make sure, just, we're wondering if you could do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
On the show.
Personal Lord and Savior, you know, it's a quick prayer.
I mean, let's just say, like, I agree with the principles that Jesus advocated. There's great wisdom in what in the teachings of Jesus, and I agree with those teachings. And things like turn the other cheek are very important, because as opposed to an eye for an eye, an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. So forgiveness, you know, is important, and treating people as you would wish to be treated. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Very important.
So it's like a 60-70%. As, yes.
As Einstein would say, I believe in the God of Spinoza. But hey, if Jesus is saving people, I mean, I wouldn't stand in his way. You know, like, I'll be sure. I'll be safe. Why not?
Sweet. We did it.
Yeah.
I think he just said yes.
We got him. All right. We got him.
We got him. What have to be saved. Sounds good.
You want to get baptized or anything? Yeah.
I was baptized.
Oh, okay.
Anglican. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's done.
They dunked me in the water when I was just a baby.
Cool.
This is like
second.
Yeah. I even had, like, you know, whatever, blood and body of Christ, which is kind of weird, you know, if you're a kid, like, you get to give you some weird tasting, you know, biscuit and wine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, isn't this kind of
just cut it off
weird...
when he said yes.
I'm like, isn't this some, like, fading weird metaphor for cannibalism or something? I don't get it. Like, what the hell?
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.